Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. And, well, Clint's favorite subject. We'll get to the Texans offensive coordinator search coming up here in just a second.
We got another one?
I'll just get the latest here. Someone texted in question. I know Ron's old lady. Damn, we still using that. I know Ron's old lady. Don't care because their kids are grown. Hell, she probably can't wait to get his ass out the house. Like, calm down. But Clint, with having youngins, is your old lady giving you hell knowing you're going to go get drunk and party for a week and call it work? Just curious, Coach T. For starters, Coach T, how old do you think I am, and how old do you think my kids are? Grown? Hell, man, we working with 11, 7, and 4 in the house. Hell, Clint's older than me. I mean, by a good
7 years.
I said good mile here. I don't know what grade I was in. When Clint was at college at Arkansas, but I damn sure tell you I wasn't driving. Legally?
Yeah, when were you born?
84.
Yeah. He's 15 when I fumbled.
I was going to say, I wasn't there, so damn. About how old do you think I am? I just turned 40. My kids in here grown. God, oh, them jokers ain't, it don't feel like them jokers ever leaving that damn house. No, man, they good, baby. Good. Sure. All right. He goes,
well, you know,
don't worry, don't act like Clint ain't left by himself.
Yeah, him. I mean, look, there's a couple things here. I you know, I feel like I prepare for these moments. I'm pretty present 99.9% of the time. So when I got to leave for a week and it is work, even though it is ball and it is a lot of drinking, a lot of eating, my wife knows who she married, and she knows what it's all about, and she embraces it, doesn't fight it, totally embraces it. And I'll be honest with you, the biggest factor here, ladies and gentlemen, is I've got my mother is here, my sister-in-law is here, her mother is here, her father's here, and her sister is here a lot. So she has more than enough help whether I'm here or not. And I've got an extremely independent woman, confident woman on my hands, and she can handle it.
Yeah, from the text line, show looks old AF. Nah. You're not about to
that's an opinion.
Not about to push. Well, it's not true. I mean, it's just not. And we have seen this multiple times. The surprise when we've gone out, you know, I like to do this test question. How old do you think I am? The surprise of people when I tell them 40. We've had that multiple times. The surprise of people when I tell them that I'm 40.
You see, I thought you were like 44.
I'm not going to let you. Not going to let you get me there.
You thought he was older?
Yeah, 44.
That's a good number.
That's what I thought.
That's again, a really good number.
Not going to let you. Like, listen, not going to let you get me there. I know that's not true.
How old do you think I was?
About 46, 47.
That's about right. I mean, he looks about 2-3 years younger than me. That's about it.
People in Cleveland, I'd say 25, 26, 40. What? What? Nah, you ain't going to get me 44, my ass. That's right.
You know, I mean, they listen. They take personality and actions into consideration, and they think you act young, maybe.
Again, someone texted in, had you at 52. Again, I'm not going to allow you to get me fired up, but I will allow Clint to get fired up. I did just want to let you know, Clint. Grant Yudinski, the latest person to be interviewed by the Texans.
Yeah.
The Jags interviewed him today, too. Got a second interview from Big Grant.
Look
Grant,
at here.
Look Duval. At Grant.
So,
yeah, see, that guy wants Grant.
We are,
gets his hands on Grant.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are clearly living in an era in the NFL where we just do favors. When it comes time to hire an offensive coordinator or hire a head coach, we just do everybody favors. Hey, what, you want an interview? Sure. Come on in, man. We'll give you an interview. Oh, you want one too? Yeah. Come on in, man. It's good.
Out, huh?
I got you. Look, and nobody's experienced that more than we have here in Houston. I felt like when the head coach interview process happened, when we landed on Culley and we landed on Lovey, boy, that was a who needs a resume builder? Who needs a little experience so that they can say that they interviewed for a head coach job, so it's easier to get that quarterback coaching job, or it's easier to get that offensive coordinator job, or it's easier to get that title of a position coach job. Who needs it? We watched it go on here now. We watched a lot of dudes get interviews that ain't no way in hell had any business getting interviews. Hell, we watched one get hired that had no business getting interviewed or hired. So it literally, Ron, it blows my mind how, and it, I don't think it, obviously it's not a secret. I mean, this is a, let's interview people. Let's waste our time and our energy and effort and interview people. Not for the Rooney Rule, not because we just, you know, we seriously might hire these guys. But let's just do them a solid, man. Let's do them a solid and get them this interview right here so that they can put it on a resume. Like it blows my mind that's where we're at in this hiring in the NFL world that we live in. But clearly, you cannot tell me that the Texans have seriously considered all these guys that they're interviewing.
Well, at least Grant has had somebody else interviewing.
Ron, he is third in charge, not first,
28,
not second. Third in charge with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, he's got an assistant on a couple of his titles in front of it.
Good point. Doesn't even have like a legitimate title within that organization.
I didn't mean it for you to turn it around like that.
Well, no, I mean, and the guy may be great. Hell, he may end up being Bill Belichick in 20 years. I have no idea. But you made a great point with this. I am exhausted with it. I guess I should be like the folks in the mezzanine level that just say, hey, man, it's a long season in baseball. Don't worry about it. Maybe I should just say, hey, let it play out, man. It's not a big deal. But I like you made a great point the other day. We watched the Texans go through three consecutive head coach hiring cycles.
One of them looked different than the other two.
When they were dead serious about getting the right guy, they interviewed the top candidates available and got arguably the top candidate available. The other two head coach searches, for whatever reason,
All the guys that they interviewed in that cycle became head coaches.
Right. Yeah, you made that point. That's a good one. Right? This looks more like the David Culley, Lovey Smith process than it does the D'Amico Ryans process for the OC.
That's fair. I think that's very fair. By the way, also within that, the Jets made a run at Nick Caley as OC. The guy that brought in, they made a run after him. Tight ends coach, passing game coordinator with the Rams. Might have been thought that he was their top option. He let it be known he did not have interest in that Jets job. Well, he has interviewed here, though. So, I mean, I think maybe Nick Caley. I know you said the other day, who in the hell would be excited about Nick Caley? I know, as we said, there are some. Does it at least make you feel better that other places have been wanting him? And
no, it's a monkey see, monkey do business. I mean, like I just said, everybody's doing everybody favors, right? I mean, it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. So look, I mean, I'm not saying, again, Nick Caley, I'm not saying that they don't hire him and he didn't end up being a tremendous hire. I don't know what about Nick Caley excites people. Like, I mean, I know there's a portion of the media, and I know there's a portion of the fan base that just says, hey, man, forget the fact that Nick and D'Amico just hired Bobby Slowick and it went south for some reason in a hurry, and there's supposedly arguments at the draft process, blah, blah, blah. Forget all that, but we just going to trust the process and trust these guys to go get another one. It don't matter who they go get. It doesn't matter that there's not one candidate that they've interviewed that's actually called plays beyond Brian Johnson for a year in Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm sure there's people out there that are like, yeah, I'm cool with Nick Caley. It's cool. We'll wait and see. Okay, let's wait and see. But you can't be excited about it. I mean, that's where we're at. Is we're getting good and excited about a tight ends coach getting hired. Passing game coordinator, tight ends coach, getting hired out of the Rams system.
I think there's an excitement level for some because people, at least how people have talked about him as being potentially the next one that's come out of that McVay system.
Like
the Kevin O'Connells, the next one that's a really good offensive mind.
Yeah, there's we just had one of those that was the next one out of one of those systems, and it didn't work out. The one that's back with the Rams right now that's actually has the title of offensive coordinator, LaFleur, he didn't work out with the Jets. I mean, again, I hear it. I understand it. It may work out, but, boy, when that's all you're interviewing and you have – there's not one guy that's been – forget whether you or I like the guys at all. There's not been one guy that's been interviewed that's going to walk in and go, y'all sit over against that wall, and I'm gonna lay out my offense right here. Terminology, everything, my install, how I want to use certain players, y'all sit right over there and let me lay this thing out for you. I'm going to hire my own staff. I'm gonna tell you the guys that I need to bring in here to make this all work, right? There are a lot of those guys out there. Now, they're not going to be real popular picks because they're head coaches that have been fired. But they're also head coaches that have won Super Bowls that are floating around out there. They're some of the most well-respected offensive minds in college football that have been rumored to make the jump to the pro level for the last 10 years in David Shaw. Not even interested. He goes to Detroit. I mean, so there are these guys are out there, and the fact that, again, I'm not saying that these guys are the best for the job. I don't have a clue, but the fact that you're not even flipping the stones on some of these guys, that's wild to me, man.
Let me ask you this, and maybe at some point, if we run out of time, we can tackle it again. Let's revisit this. You think, because I do think he may have some input. Do you think C.J. Stroud should have input on who this next hire is going to be as the OC? Have you? Because I know we talked about that a bit and didn't really dive into that, but do you think C.J. should have input?
No.
Do you think he is?
Yes. I think everything the Texans do, I think he is in D'Amico's office probably the minute that Nick leaves. I think Nick steps out and C.J. steps in. I think C.J. Stroud should be strongly, strongly considered when making the decision. Absolutely. Should he make the decision? Absolutely not. Should he help make the decision? Absolutely not. His strengths, his weaknesses, how he needs to be handled and dealt with to get the most out of him, sure, should be taken into consideration. Absolutely.
But that part, what you just said right there, like handled, that to me is the working relationship that he would have with the OC. Should he be involved in that, though? That the part of like somebody that,
no,
he, that he the, gets in,
no,
that
he shouldn't, gets along with. He shouldn't dictate what the personality, approach, temperament, tone is of the offensive coordinator in no way, shape, or form. No. Absolutely not.
I think he is.
Oh, I think he is too. I think he is too.
I want to say he's not the only quarterback in the NFL that is involved in that kind of stuff.
Well, hell no.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just want to make it seem like it's not. I mean, I just want to make it clear that it's not like some unusual thing.
Yeah, no. No, I think it's not unusual, but it's usually reserved for guys that have pelts on the wall. It's usually reserved for guys that have earned it and have that level of stroke. I don't think C.J. Stroud at this point in time has that level of stroke.
Should have that level of stroke.
Yeah, I don't think he should. Yeah, I don't think he should. I don't doubt for one second that Josh Allen mid-year last year absolutely was approached about, hey man, how can we get this offense better? Should we jump from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady? And I don't doubt for one second that Josh Allen said, hell yes, we should. Absolutely, it's time. We should do that. What do you think, Josh? I'm cool with it. Let's root. Let's move. Yeah, I think Josh has earned the right to be that guy. Yeah, I'm not. Do you? I mean, because I think we both agree that he probably is. I think he is in on a lot of the decision making with D'Amico. Do you think he should be heavily involved in deciding who the next OC is?
The way they're deciding to run this thing, I think so.
You think he should be? Not way, is he or isn't he?
No,
you
I think the be? Way the way that they are deciding to run things, where I think he is going to have a pretty big. I think they're trying to run into a space where he has a pretty big say so.
Yeah, like, but how do you feel, like, based on what you've seen from C.J. Stroud, do you think it makes sense for him to have that level of stroke in an organization?
If it was being ran a normal way, no.
Okay.
But I do. But the way they're running it, I think, then it would make sense that he would.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that they want to do it.
I agree wholeheartedly with that.
The way that they want to do it.
I agree wholeheartedly with that.
Because to me, I just, by the guys they're bringing in, it looks like it's guys that.
I agree. D'Amico.
And to me, if that is the case, well, hell, let him help make the decision on the guy he gets along with the best, or the guy he feels like he can get the best out of.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly, but that should be a 180 from what they're doing. But you're right, it's probably more or less. Like, I think there's a chance, Ron. Like, I think D'Amico Ryans, and it's probably already there in some facets of the organization, like, he's hitched his wagon too early, too obviously, and too close to C.J. Stroud.
This is C.J. Stroud's team.
Agreed.
And the only other person, and I'm not saying this is wrong, the only other person that jumps above that, you know, on the field-wise and not the McNairs or Nick, I think, is D'Amico. And I think, as you've been saying, they are tied together. This is his team. And this is his team in a big way. So I think if they are pushing it that way, then I think he should have a decision.
Well, it goes above, and it goes above D'Amico too. I mean, it's the way that Cal and Hannah talk about CJ is different. Unique is probably the right word. I think it's unique to have ownership that bought into somebody before they won a playoff game.
I know we got to get out of here, Chris. Whoever gets hired, I think it won't be a coincidence. It will know if the direction they roll.
Yeah.
It would make sense. All right, coming up, the Buffalo Bills general manager had something to say that kind of made me think about maybe how Nick and D'Amico are going to approach this offseason. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
What? Excuse me. Welcome back here, watching these NFL coaches. Seeing these coaches get hired, seeing these jobs, there's one left. Looks like Kellen Moore is going to get the one of the Saints. What the hell does Bill Belichick have to be thinking? I mean, Bill's got to be. Bill had to go to North Carolina. He's got to be looking at these damn things. Look at these openings. And Brian Schottenheimer got a job. Which do you think is the one that has Bill Belichick pissed off the most? Which of the hires do you think? Because what are they? Aaron Glenn with the Jets. I think Bill is all right with that. Ben Johnson went to the Bears.
Yep. Vrabel in New England.
Vrabel in New England. Probably resents Mike for that. He'll never
Shoddy
forgive
in
him.
Dallas.
Schottenheimer.
Pete Carroll in Las Vegas.
That's got to be a tough one for him, too. I mean, they're both older, and he got in there, and he went to the Raiders. He got a year off and got back in there. And I think Kellen Moore is going to get the Saints one.
We're missing one. Who'd we leave out?
Duval.
Oh, yeah, Jacksonville, baby.
Duval. He's got to be. Is it Liam Cohen? I think it's Liam. No, Liam Cohen's a young. Brian Schottenheimer, I don't think anybody knew.
What's your point?
Anybody ever thought that guy was going to be. And it's the job to me. It's the job that makes the most sense if you take, you know, Jerry out of it. It's the job that makes the most sense for Bill Belichick to get, is to be the coach of an established, talented team that just needs some real, real leadership. And the Cowboys, and they went and got Marty's kid, who's been terrible. I mean, not even terrible. That's mean. He's been so-so as a coordinator to bad. I bet you Bill's just, you got to be SMU. This guy's out here, Duval, out here getting it, Jacksonville. That one, boy.
Duval.
He can't help but to think, am I blackballed? Because I think so. There ain't no way. Guys, I mean, I don't even know if he got a call. I mean, I know he took the North Carolina job, but I mean, I think had he known that there was some interest, I think he would have chilled. Because I mean, I don't think he is thrilled. Like, his first choice was, let me go chill in Chapel Hill, baby. That's what I want
to
do.
Hear him tell it, he did.
Yeah, right. We'll see. All right. Buffalo Bills GM, he came out yesterday, Clinton. He said, just like last year, I don't expect us, being the Bills, even after how this year ended, get to the AFC Championship game, thinking they had a chance to win it all. I don't expect us to be big spenders. And you look at their team, you're like, we saw what Baltimore did. Baltimore lost, and they said, hell, we're going to go get Derrick Henry. We're going to try to make some moves. He said, I don't expect us to be big spenders. And it just made me kind of think about this with the Texans. You think the Texans should be big spenders? You think the Texans in this offseason, as you've talked about it, hey, they're still in that window of you don't have to pay your quarterback yet. They still have that other year, that one more year of, well, even more than one more year would it just be an extension, but they're still in that place of we don't got to pay our quarterback yet. You look at their needs, offensive line, obviously, wide receiver, backup running back, interior defensive line. Do you think they should kind of chill back and not be big spenders in the offseason?
Well, I mean, you got to define big, but I think they got to spend aggressively. I mean,
there's a splash player.
Oh yeah,
they need.
Yeah, yeah, an interior offensive lineman, like one of the best in the game, like preferably one that comes in with a chip on his shoulder of, hey guys, everybody needs to get on my level, or we're gonna have problems. Type of leader, whether it's a center or a guard, or multiple, right? I mean, yeah, I think you've got to fix your offensive line. You absolutely 100% have to fix your offensive line. Now, are they going to be as big as spenders as they were last year when you brought in arguably the top defensive end edge rusher on the market, the top three running back on the market, a top receiver on the market, a top middle linebacker on the market? You know, are they going to be that aggressive and literally? No, I don't think so. But they absolutely have to get aggressive and have to spend money fixing the interior offensive line. You can't throw draft picks at the offensive line. Like, we've seen them second-round pick with Fisher. We've seen them first-round pick with Kenyon Green. We've seen them second-round pick with Juice Scruggs. We've seen big-money free agent that Nick Caserio has experience with Shaq Mason. Like, they have to go get, like, just lock, stock, and barrel dudes. One for sure, if not two, in the middle of this offensive line. The absolute first and foremost, they got to get that done. Now, there's some other positions where they've got to address some things. I think you can throw a high draft pick at a running back and give him some time and hope. I think you can throw a high draft pick at a receiver and ask him to – or a tight end. Good call. I think you could throw a top draft pick at the interior defensive line and plug him into these dudes that exceeded expectations, big time, played at or above their ceiling – all year long as a, let's say, a top three defensive lineman in the rotation. I think you can throw draft picks at a couple of these positions, and if it's not a grand slam, if they're just good players and can contribute right away, you're cool. The interior offensive line, you can't throw draft picks at it and hope they're just good players. Like, you gotta
have an impact that gotta be day one impact.
You gotta go get meeting room changing, identity changing, culture changing types of dudes. At least one of them, if not two. You absolutely have to. Again, Or you can just waste the next 2 years of C.J. Stroud's rookie contract with subpar protection and hope it works out. Like, this is the time in a quarterback's career, and this is the luxury of getting the quarterback right immediately, is you can go spend the additional $40 to $50 million that you're going to have to pay C.J. Stroud. You can go spend some of that on the offensive line. They got to do it, man. They got to fix it. They're flat out not going to compete with the best of the best if they can't protect the quarterback better than what they did.
Now, one thing we do know is they are eligible to break off Derek Stingley, which they're going to have to do.
We'll have to.
But like someone just texted in and said, the Texans don't have enough room under the cap to be big spenders. Let me tell you something, and I've told you this, and I will continue to say this. The cap isn't real. It can be manipulated. Go look at the team in the Super Bowl for the NFC. They've got a high-paid quarterback. They've signed their receivers, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a high-paid offensive line.
The best running back in the league.
They had all of that before they went and gave Saquon Barkley, I think, the highest contract a running back's got.
And don't they have a defensive end that's not playing for him right now? Or they traded him?
Traded him.
They traded him to the Jets.
But I mean, they got some dudes on that side making money, right? And then they, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, who have a bunch of guys, a high-paid quarterback making money. They went at Derrick Henry. They went and made some additions to their team. So you can make some additions, especially when you don't have the quarterback to pay. The one thing that I think is big for them is, like, when you think of break-the-bank positions – I think in terms of having impact guys, I think they're in some positions and some spaces where they can pay solid money to get really good return, right? Like offensive line, especially interior, right? Guards and centers aren't as high prices if you needed we need a shutdown corner.
Yeah.
Like we need a number one receiver, man, or man, we need a quarterback. You know, it's not like that. Interior D-line, it could get pricey if you're talking about Jeffrey Simmons or Chris Jones or anything like that. But even just to get somebody that's an impact starting caliber player is somebody that you can probably get away with without having to, you know, pay one of the top 10 contracts in all of the sport, you know, that or non-quarterback or something like that. So I do think they're in positions that they greatly need that can be fixed and can be paid for with decent money and decent contracts. They're not in need for just huge stuff. Like it'd be a tough one if you didn't have Nico and you need a bona fide one. Like the Chargers probably need a bona fide one. That's a different place that you're in. You've got your rushers, your edge rushers that are big. You've got your corners that are big price things. I think they're in a place where they can still be aggressive and they don't have to just spend huge amount of money because of the positions that they need.
Agreed.
Like you can get a guard. Like they should be able to say, to hell with it, we're going to go and spend money for the best guard out there. And it's not going to be anywhere near what you would have to pay for a number one receiver or a corner or a quarterback or anything like that. All right, coming up, we are headed to New Orleans for the big game, the Super Bowl. Let's get into a little conversation there. If I set the number, as Chris Santiago's getting his bets ready, if I set the number of the winning score in the Super Bowl at 26.5, you taking the over or the under? We'll discuss that and more coming up.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
We talked about Isaiah Stewart yesterday, the Pistons, who just forearm shivered Thomas Bryant and then put up the gunshot. He's been suspended. And he's been suspended on his own bobblehead night. Ain't that a bitch? Damn, Doug.
Oh, that's good. Hold on, man. That's solid. That's good.
I think it's good. I think he should be suspended a lot more than he is. But
that'll be a trivia question in that town. That'll be a trivia question.
Like, I don't know if whoever runs it with the human penis, Adam Silver, whoever makes those decisions, but that's a good one. If there was ever any thought of, let's hunt it down, oh, the Pistons are having a bobblehead night for your ass. Because, now tell me if I'm wrong, Chris, you may know this. You're not allowed, like, in the building when you're suspended, right? Are you?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think you could be on the bench. You can't, no, you can't be there. So he don't even get to be there. Even witness the fans.
What would you do if the camera panned over and he's sitting on about the 10th row with one of his bobbleheads in his hand?
In a disguise?
Mask on.
If he's in a disguise with a free Isaiah shirt.
I mean, we saw John Morant yesterday with a shiesty on.
He did. What was that?
He was just chilling, so maybe he could do that.
He could, but I think we would find him.
With a what on?
Like the...
A ski mask.
Ski mask.
Oh, yeah. What'd you call it?
Shiesty.
A shiesty.
Yeah, because a rapper named Pooh Shiesty used to wear them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I ain't got Pooh. Yeah. I didn't have Pooh, bro.
I was not familiar with the name of it. I just did a process of elimination.
Because you saw what he had on?
What it was. Yeah. He had the yellow hoodie and that damn, I was going to say, ski mask. He looked like he was playing, you know, in a cold weather football game underneath his helmet is what he looked like. But Lamar wears under every game. That's what he looked like he had on. But damn, man, your own bobblehead day. Parents going to be there just pissed. He deserves it. Ought to be ashamed of himself. He should have got suspended by a lot more. All right, we'll talk a lot more about the Super Bowl coming up next week as we'll be there. Shout out to our good friends, Flight of Yingling, who are helping send us there. The rest of our great friends, Low T Center, Exclusive Furniture, Mo Karam, Injury Lawyers, all sending us there. We'll be down there for the big game. But I'm really intrigued on what type of game this is going to be, because both teams are coming off of having their season high in points, right? The Chiefs 32 against the Bills, and then with the help of a lot of turnovers, the Eagles exploded but they put up a double nickel. I think I said nickel, not nipple, but a double nickel, 55 against the Commanders, and that's their season high. As I said, if I set this thing at the winning score, 26.5, you think it's going to take more or less to win this game on Sunday? You think this is a game that's maybe a little lower scoring underneath that, or you got to be getting closer to 30 points in this game?
Oh, I think you got to bump up to 30.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
You think it's going to be a more high-scoring game?
I think so. You got Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid on one side, and you've got a very, very difficult 1-2 punch to stop on the other side. And now the Chiefs may be able to make them one-dimensional. I don't think they will be able to. They may be able to make them one-dimensional, put the game in Jalen Hurts' hands and make it an obvious pass-first situation. I don't know. I don't know how you accomplish that, but they may get that done. But I see this being both teams more along the lines of what we've seen. Right? It don't matter whether you like the product of the Kansas City Chiefs or not. I think any way you slice it, however Andy and Pat have to get it done, I think they bump up against 30. It may be ugly. It may be with Travis Kelce. It may be with Worthy and Brown outside. It may be with big plays. It may be nickel and diamond. It may be Pat Mahomes running keeping the ball on some kind of quarterback read play. But I think they're going to score points. I think they're going to score points either way it goes.
Yeah.
And I just think, look, Philly is when you talk about complementary football, right? And you talk about an offense dictating to a defense, I mean, they're just the best in the game right now doing it, particularly when Jalen Hurts is healthy and his legs are a factor in the game. They have the ability to simplify. This is where, to me, this is where the Eagles have a chance to win this game is they can really put the Kansas City Chiefs defense and defensive play caller in a position where their playbook's not just wide open to do whatever the hell you want to do, right? You got to defend the run. Not just the run, but you got to defend the quarterback plus one run. You got to defend the zone reads. You got to defend the RPOs, right? In the pass game, you don't have one, big-time wide receiver to deal with. You've got two. And they've got a tight end that's been really good in the pass game. And if we're being honest, Kellen Moore has been tremendous, at least of late. I haven't watched the Phillies all year long. I mean, the Eagles all year long. But at least of late, he has been absolutely tremendous in getting the football to Goddard in particular in the pass game and then using Jalen Hurts effectively, not necessarily productively or using these big-time runs, but timely and effectively, whether it's a red zone run for a touchdown or it's a keeper just keeping the defense honest and not letting them overcompensate for Saquon Barkley. This is a phenomenal matchup. And Spags is going to have some, I think, more pressure.
The early downs are going to be huge in this game.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
In that matchup, the Eagles' offense against the Chiefs' defense.
Sure.
Early down.
And look, the Eagles, they specialize in staying in second and short and third and short. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to want to get them into a second and long, third and long to force the game more into Jalen Hurts' hands where you can play something other than man defense and complicate the game for him. Make Jalen Hurts make some of the more technically difficult throws where you're throwing into a seven-man zone, you're throwing over backers in front of safeties. You can't throw it short because it's third and nine, right? So you got to throw it down the field. And then they're forcing those windows to be tight. Now Jalen's got to be more precise in the pass game. Now you got advantage Chiefs, right? But if the Phillies can do their thing and 1-2 punch you with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley get you into a single high safety, which a lot of their pressures, you know, that's going to give you one-on-one outside. Kansas City's got some great cover guys across the board. Philly's got some really, really good wide receivers that can beat one-on-one coverage. The matchups across the board, whether you're talking about schematically from a 30,000-foot view or you're talking about the one-on-one matchups across the board, man, this is a great matchup.
Yeah, I would say under that 26 and
you think,
a half.
You think under 26 wins it?
I don't know if I'm with this person who said watch this game be like 17 to 15. I'm not saying I would go there. I think the thing about these teams is one, and I think what really turned the score up for the Eagles against Washington and even some of their other games is turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've watched with these two teams in particular, they have not turned the ball over much at all. I think the Chiefs had their first turnover, the fumble against the Bills since week nine. And the Eagles, Jalen had a real interception problem early in the year, turnover problem early in the year. But he has really, really taken care of that towards the middle and the end of the season. And I think come hell or high water, Steve Spagnuolo is going to make somebody else beat him other than 26. I think he will throw resources at Saquon Barkley to beat him, and I do think that will lead to them having longer drives and maybe the big play element where a lot of their big plays come from the run game with Barkley. And I think the Chiefs are already a team that drives, that they have long drives. Like both of these teams have a high amount of 10-plus play drives on the season. So I don't think there are going to be a lot of possessions in this game like the last one. The last Super, they played 38-35. I don't get a sense it will be up into the high 30s like it was in that game. I just don't know that it will be as many possessions. So I think it'll be kept down a little bit. The only way I think it gets up is if we get turnovers in this game, and obviously that's where you get short fields. I think both teams are going to force the offenses to, as you all would say, work hard,
yeah.
Work to score, work to get it. Take them 70, 80-yard drives to get them. And I think these teams, I think the Eagles are more likely to be explosive with Brown as they will get down in the field with that. But I think those are the two things that Spags will come hell or high water to take away is that big play down the field with Brown and just do whatever he can not to allow Saquon Barkley to be the story of this game.
Well, that's the question. It's hard to do both. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's why the Eagles team is good. But Spags has been the best in the business, if not the best, one of for damn sure, at doing that. And so that's what makes this matchup so damn sexy. I tell you, the interesting thing, like we always talk a lot here in Houston about the interior defensive line. Like, these two teams, hell, the Eagles got a couple of them, but Kansas City's damn sure got probably the best in Chris Jones. And you got to believe they're going to bring their A game in the damn Super Bowl. I think there's a chance that we can see some of the turnover action that we saw in that Washington game, in this game as well. Simply because you've got guys that are going to disrupt from the inside. I mean, it's going to be an absolute battle inside with these interior defensive linemen that are coming too. Man, damn, this, you get me jacked up, and we still a week out of this. From the game.
Yeah, Davis has been playing big time, and they're going to present issues. This is a team that I think gives the Chiefs offensive line more issues and from the inside as compared to like the Texans did with the pass rush coming from the edges. And I would say even outside of Ed Oliver, Buffalo, too. No, this will be a good one. If you just based off what we've seen all year, these two teams have gone long stretches without turning the ball over. They're capable of doing it, but they've gone long stretches without turning the ball over. So it'll be a fun one. Have you packed a damn thing yet?
I ain't packed a damn thing, man.
I don't even know what suitcase I'm using.
I ain't got many options. I ain't got too many options, man.
Really? You seem like somebody who's got some serious luggage.
I got a couple of bags, but I borrow my wife's big one if I need a big one. Yeah. This may be a big one.
Even though
I am driving, I'm driving that LAC thing, I may just be able to hang up a lot of my stuff.
Yeah,
so.
There you go. Hey, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, we better have an iron in there. All right, what you –
Hey, Ron, I got an underdog bet lined up, and I've hit – it's a five-teamer. It's a five-teamer. I've hit four. I got one tonight. I got to see how confident y'all are.
Oh God.
Listeners out there, if you want to buy this one from me, I'm Bible. I'm a free agent. 713-572-4610. I'm gonna lay the bet out that I got, and I'm gonna take some advice. What do y'all think I should do here? And by the way, Chris Santiago, don't take this the wrong way with your young ass, but I saw the damnedest thing I've ever seen at Chipotle today. Damn. These damn kids are out of control. I'll tell you all about that. The bet and the kids. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.